The body of Christ. Every time we come to Holy Communion, the priest presents us with the sacred host and says to us, the body of Christ. Today, on this Good Friday, we read and hear of the body of Christ tortured, bruised, spit upon, beaten, scourged, crowned with thorns, dragged through the street, stripped naked for the world, nailed to a cross, and finally, the body of Christ buried, dead in a tomb. Yet amidst these painful realities of the treatment of the body of Christ, we also read today and hear of the stories of those who especially loved and adored the body of Christ. Today, I'd like to speak of three such people. First, St. Mary Magdalene. We hear simply in the gospel today that near the cross of Jesus was his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. Of course, if we've been following the scriptures, it is no surprise that we would find Mary Magdalene near the cross of Jesus today. Mary Magdalene always wanted to be near Jesus. And it's no surprise that we find her today near the feet of Jesus, even as they are nailed to the cross. This is not the first time that Mary has been at the feet of Jesus. She was forgiven much, Jesus tells us, so she loved much. Mary Magdalene had an incredible, passionate love for Jesus, and that meant that she loved the body of Christ. She anointed the feet of Jesus. And in just this last week before his burial, we read how she burst into the middle of a dinner, despite the stares of the guests, the jeering of those who were there. So passionate was her love for Jesus that she had to be there. And she brought with her costly perfumed oil and proceeded to anoint the feet of Jesus, washing them with her tears and drying them with her hair. Excessive, almost, it seems. Indeed, Judas would point this out, that isn't this excessive? This is expensive oil, 300 days' wages. Could it not have been sold and given to the poor? Yet Mary Magdalene knows that something of even greater worth is here, something that is worth her passion, her love, her entire life. And so she brings this jar of oil, indeed costing a lot, probably costing her monetarily everything she had left, perhaps from her former life, but gladly given because Mary had long ago given her former life away to Jesus. And so in this incredible, passionate gesture, she doesn't care about what other people think. She doesn't care that they would jeer. Why is a woman touching Jesus? Why is a woman even here? Who is she? Doesn't Jesus know who this is? Indeed, Jesus knows who Mary is, and Mary very much knows her love for Jesus. So she has to be there at his feet, anointing them. As Jesus tells the gathered guest on that day, let her keep this for the day of my burial. Today is that day. So few days after this passionate act of love, we again find Mary Magdalene near the cross of Jesus, at his feet, perhaps weeping again, crying. No one is able to ridicule her and say, it's too much, Mary, it's excessive. There's Mary out of control again. There's Mary crying uncontrollably again. She was there at the cross, pouring out her love for the body of Christ, even as it hung dying upon the cross. Mary loved and treasured the body of Christ. And that's why just a few days after this tragic Good Friday, we will read that very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, while it was still dark and the sun was rising, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb to anoint the body of the Lord. Is it not enough that Mary was there with the body of Christ as he was dying on the cross? It's not enough for her. Her love is so passionate that she must be near the body of Christ. Even if the body of Christ is cold and dead in a tomb, she will be there. She will go and she will anoint even his dead body. She doesn't even think about how the stone will be rolled away or how it will work. She just has to go. That is passionate love for the body of Christ. And as we will read in a few days, the passion of Mary Magdalene that allows her to be in the pain and suffering will be richly rewarded by our Lord on Easter morning. Mary Magdalene loved the body of Christ. Our second great figure today is Joseph of Arimathea. All four Gospels tell of this figure, and yet he only shows up today on this Good Friday. His action seems so simple, and yet his story is told by all four evangelists and recounted again by us today, that Joseph also loved and cared for the body of Christ. We read expressly in St. Mark that he was so bold as to go to Pilate and demand the body of Christ. Jesus had just been put to death, and of course, almost all of his other followers are fleeing and hiding for fear. They don't want to possibly face the same fate as Jesus, and so they're not even willing to show themselves or acknowledge Jesus. It's not Peter that goes and asks for the body of Christ. It's this unknown figure, Joseph of Arimathea. We're told that he is a follower, a disciple of Jesus, a secret one for fear. We're also told that he's a member of the Jewish council, but that he did not consent to the condemnation of Jesus. We're told that he is a righteous and just man who is seeking the Lord. And so he comes into this tragic scene of Good Friday and cares for the body of Christ. He does the unthinkable and going to Pilate, risking his own life, and Pilate, hearing that Jesus is already dead, entrusts the body of Christ to Joseph. And he, along with Nicodemus, others, gently remove Jesus from the cross. And then Joseph gives two great gifts, costly gifts. The first, we read of a special shroud in which Joseph lovingly wrapped the body of Christ, his burial clothes. We don't know how much this cost, but we know that it would have been expensive, unusual for a criminal dying on a cross to be buried at all, yet alone to be buried in a precious linen garment. And yet, Joseph provides this last act of kindness for the body of Christ. And finally, the second great gift is he gives to the body of Christ his own new tomb that he himself, by his own hands, had chiseled out of the stone. No doubt, Joseph had intended that this tomb would be the resting place of himself and his ancestors for many years to come. On this day, he decides to make this also costly gift and allow this tomb to be what he supposes will be the final resting place for the body of Christ. Today, we are all incredibly grateful to Saint Joseph of Arimathea because of his generosity, his sacrificial gifts for the body of Christ, we have today two of the greatest relics in Christendom. The simple cloth, perhaps bought hurriedly to wrap the body of Christ, today, many believe, is preserved as the Shroud of Turin. This gift for all of us, that we might look on the image of the crucified Lord. Without Joseph of Arimathea, we would not have the Shroud of Turin. And finally, the greatest, most special location in the whole church, we have the Holy Sepulchre, that tomb of Joseph of Arimathea given to Jesus. Today, millions and millions of people pilgrimage to their step inside this one-time gift of St. Joseph, the Holy Sepulchre, the tomb of Jesus, which upon archaeological excavations in just the recent years, that rock that Joseph took with his own hands and carved, those stone walls are still there inside the Holy Sepulchre. Thank God for Joseph of Arimathea and his care for the body of Christ. Finally, the third figure I offer you today is one that you probably have not heard of, at least not before this week. He's, of course, not mentioned in Scripture. His name is Father Jean-Marc Fournier. He is the priest chaplain of the Paris Fire Brigade. He was thrust onto the scene this past week when, tragically, on Monday, many of you probably watched on TV the horrific fire to see the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris in flames. I remember how I felt watching the news on 9/11 many years ago. And although there was not the same loss of life, praise God, in the fire at Notre Dame, I had that same feeling of helplessness as this incredible 900-year-old witness to our faith, witness to the love of the Blessed Mother, witness really to all of Western civilization going up in flames. I felt helpless in the face of such destruction. There it was, disappearing before my eyes, and there was nothing anyone could do. I imagine that Mary Magdalene, John, would have felt similar as they watched helplessly at the foot of the cross. It seems that there was nothing to be done. And yet, there was something to be done. The firefighters were doing their work, but in the midst of that came Father Jean-Marc Fournier. He, upon hearing that Notre Dame was in flames, rushed to the cathedral. And as he entered the cathedral, there were two precious things that he wanted to retrieve from the cathedral. One was the relic of the crown of thorns, the actual crown that we read today placed on the head of Jesus, the most treasured relic in the cathedral. But then he also wanted to save something even more precious than our Lord's crown. Father Jean-Marc knew he needed to save the body of Christ, the Eucharist. As he entered the cathedral, he describes how he came in and saw that the spire on top had already collapsed, as many of us saw on TV, and fallen through the roof of the cathedral. And there was a pile of fire burning in the middle of the cathedral. There was another fire by the high altar up where the Eucharist was. He said he tried to make his way towards the tabernacle as ash and embers were falling from the ceiling. Lead was dripping down everywhere. A reporter asked him if he was afraid for his life. He very casually said that that's always the case when you enter a burning building. It is a reality. So matter of fact. And yet, this great priest, despite all the hazard around him, says, I must get to the body of Christ. He was able to retrieve the crown of thorns from the safe, hand it off to others who whisked it away to safety, and then made his way towards the tabernacle. Finally, at great personal risk, Father Jean-Marc grabbed the Eucharist from the tabernacle, and as he turned to hurriedly run out of the cathedral for his life, he says that he stopped. He noticed the flames all around him, above him, and they were reaching towards one of the two great towers of the facade of Notre Dame. He said at that moment he stopped. He raised the Eucharist in his hand, and looking towards the fire, he gave what for all he knew would be the last benediction ever given in Notre Dame Cathedral. He said to the Lord, "I believe that you are present in this Eucharist. I rebuke these flames. Please save this house dedicated to your mother." And he gave benediction with the body of Christ. At that moment, miraculously, the flames threatening the North Tower were extinguished, and he was able to run for his life out of the cathedral and take the body of Christ to a safe location. Father Jean-Marc loved the body of Christ. I have to say that over this past year, normally when you've seen stories of priests in the news, it has been much to be ashamed of and sad to watch as though the cathedral is on fire, as we hear the stories of unfaithful priests who did not care for the body of Christ. In fact, we have a special intercession added by the Archbishop today to pray for victims of clergy sexual abuse, of priests who did not do what they were supposed to. But in the midst of that, I have to say that as I heard of the story of what was going on inside Notre Dame on fire, I could not see Father Jean-Marc. I did not know it was happening. But upon the next day, when I heard that story, I have to say that I was proud of a priest again. Father Jean-Marc did what a priest should do. He risked his own life to save and protect the body of Christ. Praise God for good priests like Father Jean-Marc. I pray that all priests and all of us today would have this kind of love for the body of Christ. If we have become lax in our belief, in our faith, if we carelessly skip Mass or take the body of our Lord and leave our churches, let us resolve today to once again love the body of Christ. A priest interviewed the next day was asked by the secular media, "What does Notre Dame symbolize? What does this church stand for?" Father Gerald Murray responded, "This cathedral symbolizes the body of Christ." A good answer. Today, we know that the body of Christ is present here. It's present in our church. It's present in all of us here. The body of Christ is present in the poor, in the marginalized, the disadvantaged, who, it turns out, Father Jean-Marc was also the priest that ran to the terrorist attack in 2015 to care for the body of Christ and the fallen and wounded from that attack. That's the body of Christ. The body of Christ is in our neighbor. It is most especially in the Blessed Sacrament. So today, let us take these three great examples. If our faith has grown weak, let us invoke the passion of St. Mary Magdalene, that we too, like her, would just want to be near Jesus, that we would long and yearn to caress and lovingly take the body of Christ. Let us learn from the sacrificial gifts of St. Joseph of Arimathea that we would be willing to hold nothing of our own back if we could just hold the body of Christ. And finally, like Father Jean-Marc, let us be willing to even risk our own lives to know how precious the gift of the Eucharist is. As we proceed with our liturgy today, we will now have a chance to do as Mary Magdalene did, as Joseph of Arimathea did. We will be able to venerate the cross of the Lord. And then, in that most special moment, the priest, representing Christ, will hold up for us individually the Eucharist. He will look you in the eye and say simply to each one of you, the body of Christ.